Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south?
What's going on here? I don't know why our sound is not on. We don't know what's going on here. But anyway, hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Mazzola. We don't know what the problem here is. Where's our sound? Oh, God. What is going on here? Oh, hell. What is this about? I'm supposed to be live. Well, we'll try. I got no. What's going on here? What's going on here? Oh boy, I'm still in this damn computer trouble. Anyway, today is the 27th. No, the 25th, excuse me. And we are on the air, supposedly. And this is a day of first, so we'll try to give the first. I don't know what happened to our sound, but anyway, on Henry IV of France, there was this religious warfare going on in France in the 15th century. They had the St. Bartholomew's Day massacre, which was stirred up by Catherine de' Medici, who was what would be called a reactionary right-wing Roman Catholic. It came from Italy. She was from the de' Medici family, very famous family, that she brought all her cooks with her and taught the French how to cook. That's the origin of French cuisine. Also, 1670, Jews were expelled from Vienna, Austria. In the hierarchy of the Jewish heritage, Ashkenazi Jews, German Austrian Jews, are supposed to be, quote, superior in culture, education, learning, achievement. Then there's the Sephardic, the Spanish, the Turkish, and the Palatia Jews. But every ethnic group has its hierarchy. It's just the way people are, and that's the reality of life. Also today, the territory of Wyoming was created 3 years after the American Civil War, and of course the Union Army was out there. We also have 1918, Annette Adams was the first woman to be elected as a district attorney in the state of California. In 1943, Mussolini finally was deposed. Mussolini was not a lawyer. He was a school teacher and a political editor. This is a day of firsts. The first jet fighter, the Messerschmitt 232, appeared, 262, excuse me. And, of course, Hitler used that. If he had had more of them, we may have lost the war. He may have forced us to negotiate. But as there was a decision at Yalta that was called unconditional surrender, and so that persuaded the Nazis and the rest of that crowd to fight on. We had the 1945 after the war, at a Paris fashion show, the first bikini appeared. We had the also after the war, that's noise outside, we can't help that. The first U.S. Department of Defense was started, or founded, and that was a combination of the U.S. the Navy Department, the Army Department, and the Air Force Department. The Marines, even though they like to think they are special, very special, are a department of the U.S. Navy. Also another first, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico was created on this date in 1953 in New York City. The first use of subway tokens was started. The first test ban of atomic weapons was signed in the treaty. The treaty signatories were the United States, Great Britain, and Russia. In 1965, Bob Dylan was the first one to use electricity, and then the folk rock was started. In 1972, the United States finally agreed for the first time after 40 years that blacks were used in a horrible 40-year syphilis experiment. Also in 1983, the first non-human primate was created in a petri dish. It was a baboon. They did this in San Antonio, Texas. Also, we have the Washington State Power Company defaulted. So it's default is nothing new in America. Among the birthdays today, Anna Symes Harrison, the wife of William Henry Harrison, Tippecanoe and Tyler II, the president who had the shortest presidency, died of pneumonia almost 2 months after he was inaugurated. His son was Benjamin Harrison. This is the Indiana connection to the U.S. presidency. Flora Adams Darling was born today. She started the Daughters of the American Revolution, which was very segregationist, and they owned the hall in Washington, D.C., that Marian Anderson was supposed to sing at, but because Marian Anderson, the great black soprano, was black, they banned her. So Eleanor Roosevelt got her, I think it was Constitution Hall, so that Marian Anderson could sing. Marian Anderson is the aunt of the great black music conductor of the Portland Orchestra. Oh, gosh, his name escapes me. Anyway, that's his aunt. And a book that everybody should read, Eric Hoffer was born today. He wrote The True Believer. Every student should read this book, especially now with all of these groups, both right and leftists, who seem to think that they have a corner on the truth, and they're very militant about their beliefs, and some of them resort to violence. Also today, Mr. Black was a guy who was a Canadian anatomical specialist. He discovered the Peking Man, Peking, China. And that fossil, the work was, he started this in 1923 to 27. He died in 1934. They estimate that this, the Peking Man, was estimated between 500,000 to 750,000 years old. The skull of the Peking Man is in a Chinese museum in China. Also, today's birthday is Senator Frank Church, a Mormon from Idaho. Excuse me. I can't help that noise out there. He had hearings on, I think it was the CIA, very controversial during the 70s. Also, Maureen Forrester, the great Canadian contralto, she sang a lot of, made a lot of recordings. She was born today in Montreal, Canada. Among the deaths today was the assassination of Egilbert Dollfuss. He was the Austrian prime minister, was assassinated by the Nazis, and that set the stage for Dr. Arthur Seth Inquart, who was a lawyer and a filthy lawyer. He became the Gauleiter of Austria. He was a war criminal, and after the war, he was tried and hanged, well-deserved. And then the other death today was Vincente Minnelli, who was the father of Liza Minnelli. He was a great director, and he died in 1986. Among the interviews that we've done, the 1,500 or more, was a whistleblower who was talking about what happens when you try to bring evidence of public corruption to federal authorities. And this is his experience. I tell you what, instead we're going to play, since in 1932, in this month, but the war and the Depression intervened, the United States and Canada signed an agreement to develop the St. Lawrence Seaway or Niagara Falls, and the American chief engineer was General Philip Berrigan, and here is his excerpt.
I was in San Francisco, and I had 4 years to do, and I thought I was living in this house, and I thought, I'm going to retire in San Francisco. And the chief called me up and said, listen, you got decorated by England, France, and Belgium. I have another international job. He said, what is it? And he says, it's the Niagara Falls, really.
Okay.
And he says, it's a job with Canada, and I want you to go take over the division in Chicago. See, I had the division here that included districts in San Francisco. Now the divisions in Chicago included the Great Lakes, the district in Chicago and Buffalo.
That was a rough spot on this, but it couldn't be helped. But at least we got, this is the only interview he ever did on his work in Chicago and with the Canadians at, developing the American side of the St. Lawrence Seaway. We also call it Niagara Falls and the Great Lakes, which opened up the Great Lakes area.
Were they easy to work with?
Missiles, big ships. The only problem is, we believe, and now
you see that the international boundary goes right through Niagara Falls.
It's not indigenous, not native.
The Great Lakes. The falls had all the water going, practically 85% of the water went through the middle quarter of the
predators
falls where the international boundary went
problem, which was not seen at that time.
And what we did was to both go on our side of the international boundary and flatten that we sandbagged so we got away from the water, but we made the elevation of the edge of where the water would go as the same as the elevation in the middle of the horseshoe, where most of
make
all
it level.
The water just, so that we spread the sink out so that Niagara Falls would maybe instead of quarter of a mile in the middle of the falls, over 2 or 3 miles long, and particularly made it very pretty, beautiful. In other words, and we actually generated more power. In other words, we put more power through the powerhouse because all that water is going through the middle of the falls. So to show you couldn't divert much more than they were diverting, whereas if you spread it out for a little bit of water, maybe only 6 inches of water going over the edge, and then diverting more for power, making an equal amount of power on the Canadian and the United States side.
So for once, everything got shared.
Well, it had to be that way, you know, the way it was very logical that we wanted it to be that way. It was a fair thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I can get on an environmental thing, Joe, with the ships, foreign ships coming into through the St. Lawrence Seaway, into the Great Lakes. They bring in bacteria and plant life that's not indigenous to the continental United States, and I understand their problems now. Could that have been avoided?
I don't think that's a good any different problem from what we were doing. Mm-hmm. That was the problem of the health department in my
school. Of course, we weren't that environmentally conscious then, were we?
Well, it wasn't our responsibility. That was mm-hmm. something that was the public health department.
Mm-hmm. Because this is just starting to crop up in being from the Midwest myself, these Russian ships especially, they said brought in stuff that was not indigenous to the United States, and now they're concerned yeah. that these animals will get a foothold here. What did you do after the SeaWorld?
We will play another part of this work they did at the after the war. It's not well known what this very accomplished general and engineer did. So we're just bringing these rare interviews to people so you can hear history that you won't see or read in the archives of a lot of newspapers. Now, what happens when somebody tries to whistleblow in some of these poverty programs? And here's the experience. Now, what happened to this guy? What happened to him? I'm trying to find him right now. Politicians, no. Wait, I'm sorry about that. Bear with me just briefly. We're not going to do the circumcision thing, even though we're asked, but here we go. Here's an excerpt from federal whistleblower's experience was. He was a manager at one of these wealthy, bogus nonprofits.
As I got more into the budget and learning that they really had all this money, and the fact that they were utilizing this money more for administrative costs and stuff like that, if anything, I think they used most of their funding to pay for the problems that they were having in the Fairfax project over in
County. Right.
If anything, that was it. They juggled the books in order to have cash flow to deal with that. Because definitely we had no cash. We had no money to take care of the property.
Did you ever see a certified audit?
Oh, never, never. As a matter of fact, in one of the documents that I took a look at, it doesn't seem that they were ever audited or they actually received extensions.
Who are their accountants, do you know?
No,
I can point out.
No.
But there is no HUD audit because I've asked for one. They're not the only one. Chinese Community Housing. Let's get back to Casneve.
Yeah.
There are a lot of them, believe me.
Right.
Catholic Charities, a lot of these slime. What do you know about Coho?
I don't know anything about Coho.
Where did you go? What address did you go to?
The one over by...
Clayton?
Yeah, Clayton.
409 Clayton.
And all I did was I dropped off my declaration of war towards IH, mm-hmm. Because at that point I was already fired.
Mm-hmm.
All I know about Coho was the fact that the director of the San Francisco region was supposed to meet with them on a monthly basis, and that never happened.
Coho covers up for these people because they're all part of a network. I'm going to give you a flowchart. Since we're running short of time here. I'm going to make a copy of that. I really need this because I want to get this. To summarize, let's just recapitulate. You were denied access to board of directors meetings. There's no audits that you know of. They get extensions.
Okay, that's one. Now we'll hear another excerpt from, this was about an hour and a half interview. Here's another comment.
My complaint, due to the fact that there was no documentation, that I was unwilling to to do any sort of testifying or anything like that. And I said, I'm more than willing to come into your office, bring you the documentation, sign a statement, an affidavit, okay, that you guys type there, okay, of my charges, and you can keep copies of the document. They were willing to accept that. I ran into Ed Lumen on the street one day, and he said, oh, we'll get in touch with you. Never did.
You want to...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he was playing his radio. Since we brought up Eric Hoffer, the longshoreman who was blind, taught himself to read, great author. I had ran into him one time, but I should have interviewed him, and I didn't. But anyway, man who did interview a real journalist, a very fine journalist, he interviewed... Eric Hoffer, Eric Severide, and I think this is apropos on the birthday of Eric Hoffer. Eric Severide admired Eric Hoffer.
By my time of life, one has accumulated more allegiances and moral debts than the mind can remember or the heart contain. So I cannot enumerate my betters, my mentors, and sustainers during so many years of trying to use with sense this communications instrument as unperfected as the persons who use it. But they know that I know who they are. Many are gone, including the man who invented me, Ed Murrow. Some died in the wars we were reporting. I've gone the normal span of a man's working life, rather abnormal in this calling, and it's a happy surprise. We were like a young band of brothers in those early radio days with Murrow. If my affections are not easily given, neither are they easily withdrawn. I have remained through it all with CBS News. And if it is regarded as old-fashioned to feel loyally to an organization, so be it. Mine has been here an unelected, unlicensed, uncodified office and function. The rules are self-imposed. These were a few. Not to underestimate the intelligence of the audience and not to overestimate its information. To elucidate when one can, more than to advocate. To remember always that the public is only people and people only persons, no two alike. To retain the courage of one's doubts as well as one's convictions in this world of dangerously passionate certainties. To comfort oneself in times of error with the knowledge that the saving grace of the press, print, or broadcast is its self-correcting nature. And to remember that ignorant and biased reporting has its counterpart in ignorant and biased reading and listening. We do not speak into an intellectual or emotional void. One's influence cannot be measured. History provides for the journalist no markers or milestones, but he is allowed to take his memories. And one can understand as he looks back the purpose of the effort and why it must be done. A friend and teacher, the late Walter Lippmann, described the role of the professional reporter and observer of the news in this manner. We make it our business, he said, to find out what is going on under the surface and beyond the horizon, to infer, to deduce, to imagine, and to guess what is going on inside. And what this meant yesterday and what it could mean tomorrow. In this way, we do what every sovereign citizen is supposed to do, but has not the time or the interest to do it for himself. This is our job. It is no mean calling, and we have a right to be proud of it and to be glad that it is our work. In the end, of course, it is not one's employers or colleagues that sustain one quite so much as the listening public, when it be so minded. And I have found that it implies only one consistent test, not agreement with one on substance, but the perception of honesty and fair intent. There is in the American people a tough, undiminished instinct for what is fair. Rightly or wrongly, I have the feeling that I have passed that test. I shall wear this like a medal. Millions have listened, intently and indifferently, in agreement and in powerful disagreement. Tens of thousands have written their thoughts to me. I will feel always that I stand in their midst. This was Eric Severide in Washington. Thank you and goodbye.
Eric's not retiring from television entirely, but only from daily journalism, and that means, of course, this broadcast. It's not only his beautifully chosen words of wisdom that we shall miss. To this newsman, he's one of the finest essayists of the century. But we shall also miss our almost daily contacts with him in the pursuit of our craft, in which his rare insight and unswerving integrity were a constant source of professional guidance. And yes, it's also true that we shall be the poorer in our self-esteem for no longer being able to call him colleague. But that's the way it is. Wednesday, November 30th, 1977. This is Walter Cronkite, CBS News. Good night.
No, that was from our archives. We have a lot of these broadcasts and, of course, our own experience of radio. I was a guest on CBS several years ago dealing with animal and environmental issues. We're hoping to get some more live interviews. I've still got about I think it's several hundred audio interviews and some visual stuff that has to be converted for broadcast and for archives. We have interest from some broadcast museums of our rare work, such as The Last Commanding General, The Bengal Lancers, stuff like Melvin Belli, the great lawyer on dog bite liability, and some an experience I had involving the Canadians when I was up in Montreal in 1988, covering a convention, international meeting. Happened to be in the office of, I think it was Associated Press, and over the wires, and in the middle of the discussion that I was having about Canadian politics, there was a notice from that the RCMP, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, had intercepted a merchant vessel that had come into the port of Montreal, and on it was heroin suspected of coming from the Taliban, and this was back in 1988. So that's my experience with the St. Lawrence Seaway, besides coming from the Midwest. But we'll have more of these anecdotes. I'm trying to get my Russian friends to give me some more interviews. I did have the interview with a former woman who was on Moscow radio. So we'll end with our favorite theme, which is so apropos. Although they're not playing poker, they're still playing politics. Here we go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Pony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Fine.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bet out.
Politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game in rough. Decisions,
like
who
to pick,
how to play,
not to
bet, where to call
up. All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Tariff raise.
Get him.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll fall.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in. Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panjicinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
We'll be back Wednesday, and hopefully we'll have our live guest. This is Peter Paul Brazola. Thank you for listening and bearing in. We're still having some minor problems, but this new system, I like it, and it's working out. Good night, and this will be up in the archives for you to listen to download on your iPod or on your computer.